Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Andy Troy Show, where you can sample all the great things New York has to offer. For the next 60 minutes, I'll not only clue you into some great things to do around town, but we'll also chat with some interesting local personalities. Tonight's show features New York residents who are fans of the Dallas Cowboys and Green Bay Packers, as well as the bars where they watch those games from deep in enemy territory. But first, our shameless plugs. For those of you who haven't read my anti-aging book, Living Young, 32 Habits of Ageless People, there's no time like the present. It's always the right time to stay young and get healthy. Also, if you're going to live a long time, you might as well enjoy it. So check out my DVD, The Bedroom Workout for Men, on how to improve men's sexual performance through exercise. Both are available on Amazon.com, as well as my website, AndyTroy.com. Remember that if you bring my book to any of my events, I will be happy to autograph it for you. Speaking of which, our next event will be Let's Go Retro, our 80s dance party this Friday night, August 24th from 6 to 10 p.m. at Culture Club, located at 20 West 39th Street between 5th and 6th Avenues. It'll feature $5 beer, wine, and well drinks. Admission is free. The details for this and all my monthly events are on my website, tastingnyc.com. The Andy Troy Show has a fan page on Facebook that contains links to previous shows, as well as pictures of all our past guests. Check it out by punching The Andy Troy Show into your Facebook browser. If you haven't heard my animal rescue song, Hoping for Another Morning, you can both hear the song and see the video by going to YouTube and punching Hoping for Another Morning into the browser. My good friend and producer, John Anello, a.k.a. Johnny Mandolin, has a CD called La Voce Mia. Order your copy today at johnnymandolin.com or call E. Rossi at 212-226-9254 and they'll hook you up. Finally, sponsors, we want them. If you'd like to promote your goods and or services to our vast listening audience, contact the station or me directly at andyftroy@aol.com. Okay, as a lifelong sports fan, I've always been fortunate enough to live in the city where my team plays. However, not everyone is that lucky. And as we know, it can be somewhat hazardous to your health and well-being at times, but I've always respected those of us who like the opposing team. And we've got a whole mess of them here tonight. First, we will start with the arch enemies of the New York Giants, the Dallas Cowboys. And we have John here from, tell us about your bar, John, where you gather to watch Cowboy games.
It's called Stone Creek Bar and Lounge, and it's located at 140 East 27th Street between 3rd and Lex. We've been hosting Cowboy fans for, this will be our 7th season upcoming. Tave here, to my left, is the original organizer of the group that's been coming in. It started out as a small group. We were actually just discussing it earlier, probably 10 people or so in the first year. And now, at times, we can get, 100 plus, maybe even 150 at our establishment for the games.
The Nets don't draw that well. That's amazing. 100 people, you guys. Cowboy fans in New York City. I want to hear from Tave here about how this all came to be, because I run a bunch of groups on meetup.com myself, so I'm a meetup type of guy, and you run a group there too, I think, right?
Yes, we do.
Get closer to the microphone. We have to hear from you.
Well, about 7 years ago, I decided I was tired of watching the Dallas Cowboys only when they played the Giants or on Sunday night or Monday night games. And I had heard that there were fans of other teams that had bars that they went to watch the games. And I'm like, this is the Dallas Cowboys. There have to be people in New York.
America's team.
That's right. Who are interested in the Cowboys. So I went online and I started Googling and I hit on Meetup and they were waiting for an organizer. And most people will tell you I'm okay with taking the lead. So I jumped in, organized it, and then I started posting on Craigslist that we were looking for a bar to host us. And Stone Creek was one of several bars that actually said they would be willing to host us, and they were the best. I tested them all out, and we started from there, and we started with 10 and moved up to this awesome group of over 600 and about 25 people are members on our meetup group.
Okay. Well, so they actually approached you. Well, you initiated it, but
yes.
It's not like this was a bar where you hung out or anything.
No.
Okay. So we heard the origin of this, and we will get back to you, but we don't want to leave out the Packers, the team with real history, because the Cowboys only started in 1960, as we know. You guys are kind of Johnny-come-latelys, but...
Still, he got five rings.
Five? That is true, and the Packers only have four, and the Giants...
Excuse me.
The Giants
13
only... 13 NFL championships.
NFL championships.
All right.
13 NFL championships.
Turn the mic towards you there, Patrick. This is Patrick, I believe, the owner of the of a fine kettle of fish. Is that right?
Yeah, that is correct.
Okay. So, how did you become a Packers bar?
Well, I was born and raised in Wisconsin. My folks were from Green Bay, so I was kind of in the blood. My dad was used to hop the chain link fence during the Depression to see the Packers. And then in high school, he would sell programs during the games. And then he went to the University of Wisconsin and then Marquette Med. And he would go home on weekends and sell programs. So we've had season tickets in the family since 1957, as soon as he got his practice going.
The Packers are a unique team in that it's kind of like there's nobody in the city. You're talking about a city with like 56,000 people and 57,000 of them go to the game.
Absolutely.
It's amazing. I mean, and I think, don't they sell certificates? You can actually kind of buy stock that you don't actually get any stock for, which is basically a way of investing in the team?
It doesn't pay dividends, but it is a way of investing in the team to keep them in Green Bay.
Yeah, because you...
I've been a shareholder since sometime in the 90s.
That's got to be the smallest city to have a team that successful.
It's, without a doubt, it's 100,000, the entire area. That includes the farms around it.
And how many seats does the stadium hold?
Well, they've just added like 15,000 new ones, which some people are happy about because it's a 30-some-year wait to get season tickets. So I'm not sure the exact number with the new seating.
Oh, wait. We've got a Packer fan who needs to be heard from here. His mic is off. Packer fans are seen but not heard.
Except for in the championship ring.
All right, well, she's going to fix that. Why don't you grab Patrick's mic there? We share on the show.
I was just going to say that, yeah, it seems like...
And what's your name, first?
Identify yourself. My name is Matt.
Matt, okay.
It seems like in the past few games I've been to, average sellouts have been between 75,000. So if they had 15,000 seats, we'd probably close to 90,000 now.
90,000 in a city that only has 100,000 people? Are there like 10,000 babies who can't get into the game? Is that what it is?
Well, that's kind of the unique thing about, I think, being just a Packer fan. Even though I'm kind of baffled by what I see, not just at Lambeau Field. There'll be 10,000 people outside the stadium. Just listen. They just want to be around it. I mean, and it's residential, so people have barbecues happening all the time and whatnot. And the Kettle of Fish is kind of a smaller version of that. There will be people waiting in line just to get in, waiting the entire game, just to be around it. And I know, I think recently, local bars around have taken spillover from that just so they can watch the game, too. They're taking advantage of all the people that just want to be around Packer fans.
Now, are you from New York originally?
I am not. I'm originally from Port Washington, Wisconsin. It's about a half hour north of Milwaukee.
Okay, so you are actually, the Packers were your local team.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm always interested in how people become fans of those teams because a lot of times, so Tave there, are you
yes.
a local type of gal?
Yes, I am. Born and raised in Queens.
Okay. So how did you end up a Cowboys fan, though? Because that is not a local team.
It obviously. Is not. There's some argument in my family about how that happened. I say it started when I was 10. My mother says it started when I was 2. My mother is a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and she was born and raised in New York. And she says when I was 2, she would sit me in my little playpen, and when the Pittsburgh Steelers would do something, she said I was dead quiet. But the minute the Cowboys would do something, I would clap my hands and I would applaud. Now, I don't know. I can't remember that.
Do you like stars or something? Is that what
I don't know. And no one else in my family is a Cowboy fan. Now, I remember being 10 years old and actually going into the living room and seeing on our big color console Tony Dorsett with his helmet off. And I'm going to be honest, that's where it started.
So that worked for you.
Yeah, that worked for me at 10. Okay. And it turned into a love of the Cowboys and then a love of football in general. But the Cowboys have always been my team.
Now, are people in New York surprised when you tell them what team you support?
I don't think they're surprised. It's hard not to know that about me. Once the season starts, my fingernails actually are blue and silver. My
you
car.
Paint the Cowboys in your fingernails.
I do.
Do you do that with your fingernails for the Packers?
I do not. Occasionally, if I'm at the bar, some random girl will come up and like, you know, hey, we're doing face paint and whatnot, and I might.
You might do
get
that.
In.
Yeah.
Is that service offered, John, in the bar? Do they paint Cowboy insignias?
Not yet, but you might be onto something.
I've got a lot of big name tattoo artists on the show. If you wanted me to try to send someone out,
sure.
And it's, I think part of it is if you know anything about me, you know it's on my cell phone, it's on my voicemail, it's on my car. My car is blue; it has a big star on it. It's who I am, and it's not something that I do just during the season. You know, you can see me any time of the year, and I'll have on a Dallas Cowboy hoodie, I'll have on a T-shirt. For me, it's a lifelong commitment, and I think. What people assume is people assume I'm from Texas, and I'm not. And so they're more surprised that I'm not from Texas than they are that I'm a Cowboy fan.
Well, that's what I would think, yeah,
right.
People find out that you're, you know, sleeping right. with the enemy there.
Right.
I mean, because I'm a Giants fan, I have to tell you, and I was getting stomped by you guys my whole childhood.
Right.
I grew up insecure because the Giants used to go 1-13 when the Cowboys would be like 15-1, and you know.
Well, and I will say this, while we are very friendly to people who want to come into the bar, you need to be a Dallas Cowboy fan or with a Dallas Cowboy fan.
I would not be allowed into this bar.
If you
are. Is this like a gang fight? Do I have to do any hand signals or anything?
I think it's important that you identify who you belong to. But it's.
I don't know if I can make a star out of my fingers.
What it really is we have people who are fans. I have a really good friend who's a Green Bay fan, and he came to the game.
Some of my best friends are Green Bay
fans. Some of my best friends. Yeah. Well, just one of them.
Oh. I don't want to get carried away.
Right, don't. And we're very open to that. We're open to people being there. But the reality is it's a Cowboy bar. We take over the entire place. They treat us extremely well. So if you're going to come in, you got to understand that it's a Dallas Cowboy bar. And it has been for 7 years. So.
Now, Patrick, how are non-Packer fans treated in your facility? Would I be abused there, too?
No, you wouldn't. I have a...
Turn the mic
Sorry.
Towards you.
Yeah, you wouldn't be abused, although it's predominantly Packer fans, and people line up. There's a line down the street before we open on Sunday mornings. No, we open at Sunday at noon. But, no, generally speaking, I have a lot of New Yorkers on my staff. So we have Giant fans and Jet fans. But they keep it kind of quiet. You know, they'll wear their shirt, but that's about it. They keep it a little quiet.
I have to tell you that I went to a Red Sox game at Fenway and rooted openly for the opposition. So you wouldn't be able to keep me quiet, I have to tell you. There's no controlling me when I'm out in public.
We have one of those.
I haven't missed a Giant game since 1969, by the way, just so you know. Yes, Fran Tarkington was the quarterback when I got started. That's how I'm used to suffering, because I watched the Giants lose to the Cowboys twice a year for many years.
So. Well, you must have been pretty happy last year.
Yeah, I kind of remember that, actually.
Now, we were doing really well a second ago, and now we went the other route.
There's a connection on my show for both of you guys, because one of my good friends, Byron Hunt, who has been a guest on the show, intercepted a pass off Danny White in 1981 and got the Giants to the playoffs for the first time in 3 or 4 centuries.
Really? That's what you want to remember?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. And my good friend Jude Waddy, a little happier note, played for the Packers for 4 years, and he's probably listening in tonight.
Oh, very good.
Buy his pet toy, the Fizzipet, if you have a pet that wants to get in shape. And Jude is a good guy. I actually did a Super Bowl pregame show from here with him, live on the air. So.
Very cool.
He was a linebacker for the Packers for a few years. Okay, we're actually going to go to a commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to hear more, and we're going to see if I've survived the onslaught from Tave here. We'll be back.
Would you like to know what's going on in the Italian-American community and stay in touch, even if you don't live in Little Italy? There's a way to do it. There's a great newspaper out called GIA, the Giornale Italo-Americano. This newspaper is distributed nationally and comes out weekly, and you can subscribe by going to their website at www.giamondo.com, that's G-I-A, mondo.com or call 718-592-2196. Check out GIA for all your information on what's happening in the Italian-American community. It's published in both Italian and English. It's a great way to read and follow up and practice your Italian as well. Check out GIA on the internet at www.giamondo.com. GIA newspaper, the Italian-American newspaper for today.
Hello, my name is Anthony Teresa, owner and producer of Blue Night Recording Studio in beautiful Orange County, California, just outside Los Angeles. As a guitarist, vocalist, bassist, session player, producer, and engineer, I have either played or recorded on over 400 CD projects. Let me tell you, it's not easy to record your own music. My goal is to help you to be the best you can be behind the mic and in the tracking room. We'll get the best possible sounds from your voice and instruments. Do you need musicians? I've got them. The top session players in Southern California and Los Angeles. Let's make your recording project a reality. You can contact me by phone at 949-338-0293. That's 949-338-0293. Or contact me an email at catduo@earthlink.net. Looking forward to hearing from you. Take care and have a great week.
Hey, Mia, Frankie,
hey, John,
Dad, where are we?
We're at Umberto's Glam House.
Umberto's.
132 Mulberry Street.
It's the place to be. What are you kidding?
Little Italy.
Hey, are we having fun? Is the food good?
Oh, my God. Food the gnocchi, the marinara, the mozzarella.
I ate three times tonight. And so much.
Well, Chantani Broadcasting loves Umberto's at 132 Mulberry Street. In fact, that's why we broadcast from here. When you're in Little Italy, come down and watch a live broadcast or tune in, and anytime you're around, come and eat. Tutta mangiamo, si.
Tutta mangiamo, eh? Okay, we're back, and we have a new entrant in the Packer section here. Get up to the mic there. We're two new people, actually. We've totally rotated. They brought in a new backfield. So, sir, you with the Packer shirt on. Get over to the mic.
Okay.
And what is he? I think he could compete with Tave here. He's got attitude. What's your name, sir?
My name's Kurt Robbie.
And are you originally from Green Bay, or are you somehow end up a Packer fan?
Well,
some other way?
I'm originally from Wisconsin, Central Wisconsin, Wisconsin Rapids.
Okay, good. So we don't need to know how you're a Packer fan. Give him the mic. You, sir. Are you from Wisconsin, too?
I am, actually.
This is disturbing. I was hoping to find out how New Yorkers became Packer fans, but...
You know, I've met a lot of people in my time in New York that have become Packer fans growing up here, actually.
So you have converted people, is that what you're saying?
I don't know if I was the one.
Are you a proselytizer? Is that what we're talking about?
Sometimes. You know, okay. It's the Wisconsin... Everybody loves the Packers. Like, it's easy to become a Packer fan.
Do you give out free cheese to try to entice people?
Actually, a kettle of fish? We do.
You do? Good to know.
Yes.
Okay. Now, what's the reaction that you guys tend to face when you come across people and tell them that you are not a fan? Like, let's say, it's not as severe as, like, the Giant-Cowboy rivalry, but the Giants have played some big games with the Packers. Like, what happened when you were walking down the street, you're reading the back page of the Daily News, and it's something about the game, and you're like, you know, damn, the Packers lost. How did people react to that?
You know, it's interesting. Because it's such a storied rivalry between the two teams that go back to, like, the 20s.
Yeah, the Packers came in 21, I think.
Yes, yeah, that's exactly right. And there's, like, almost a mutual respect between the two teams because they're just so old-school NFL. And when I talk to any Giants fans about the Green Bay Packers, there's almost a mutual respect. We still don't love each other, but there's almost, like, a mutual respect that, like, we're the old guard of the NFL. And it makes for a very interesting, civilized conversation, except for when... we lose to them in the playoffs last year at home. And it's devastating.
Yeah, that didn't go well, did it?
No, it did not. Okay, I'm still heartbroken over it.
Packer fans, Rodgers or Favre, who did you prefer?
I mean, you know, I don't know if Kurt wants to say something, but I...
Yeah,
you know,
Kurt, get over there. Get involved in this.
Well, actually, in his day, everybody loved Brett Favre, of course. But, you know, since he set some photographs out, and before that, when he... started playing for the Minnesota Vikings. I don't know if Patrick told you, but
he started
pictures,
thinking with the little head, and we didn't realize how little it was.
But you know, at the Kettle of Fish, when he signed with the Vikings, all pictures of Brett Favre came off the walls.
Yeah, how did you guys feel about that? Because the Packers seemed to be terrified that he was going to play for the Vikings, and it really didn't make much of a difference when you really come down to it. I mean, we're not like a lot of championships won by the Vikings with Brett Favre.
Well, I don't know. Who likes to be double-crossed? I mean, with your favorite uncle.
But didn't the Packers not want him back, though?
Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter right now, does it?
He should have just retired. Okay. He should have gone into his career in filmmaking.
Yeah. It's Aaron Rodgers has done a great job of making everybody forget about him. So.
Okay. Now, as we saw, the Giants and the Packers have a lot of long-time mutual respect, very similar to the Giants and the Cowboys. So we'll get up to the microphone here, sir.
James.
You are
My name is James Smoot.
Okay, get closer to us. We don't fight except during football season. In 2 weeks, you might have to worry. But
no, in 2 weeks, I have to worry about not getting arrested.
Really?
There's no mutual respect between Cowboys and Giants. There's
I knew that.
You make that sound like it's a bad thing.
It's a
There's
bad
a little
thing.
Bit, but
no,
it, you know,
it is.
It is.
So talk right into the mic.
Yeah,
you probably
I'm sorry.
Got some,
yeah,
some
it's
inflammatory
a bad thing.
Statements right. that we'll
yeah.
enjoy.
No. See, look, for me personally, I've been in New York for, hold on, 40, for 25 years. There's unmitigated hate toward the Giants.
Right.
Okay.
That's how we are with the Bears, the
and
Lions,
the Vikings,
kind
probably.
Of, and the Vikings.
And the Vikings.
I mean,
right.
yeah, like, you know, but the Vikings are always a non-starter because they've never won a Super Bowl. So.
Right.
Yeah, I see. It's just my pressure right now is
spiking. The Cowboys have won a few Super Bowls, so
yeah,
not, in a while,
few,
that's all.
Not in a while. Yeah. And we've had to endure the Giants winning 2 in 5 years.
Did she mention to you that I haven't missed a Giant game since 1969?
I left that out on purpose.
My good friend Byron Hunt, who I discussed earlier, who intercepted a pass off Danny White in 81.
Okay.
Got the Giants to the playoffs for the first time in 3 lifetimes. You know, you hear how great the Giants' history was, but...
Yeah, I threatened your coach at the scouting combine this year.
You threatened him?
Yeah.
Huh?
Was that little disgusting parade that your boys had?
Was that
winning
the Canyon
that alleged
of Heroes?
Championship? No.
What
See,
alleged
that actually
champion?
Happened to walk past my office window.
Really?
I don't appreciate that.
I'm going
did
to give him a call.
And
I actually hosted an event for the Giants and their wives, by the way, a couple of years ago.
You should never tell me where that is.
Unfortunately,
you should never do that.
Unfortunately, that happened like the day after they were eliminated from the playoffs. That was the Plexico Barris year.
Oh, really?
When he embarrassed us. Plexico
like
embarrassed us.
Yeah, he Plexico has a lot of issues.
He shot himself in the leg, actually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've heard of a team shooting themselves in the foot, but usually not in the leg.
And
okay.
Troy, I just wanted to tell you about James. One of the things about the group that I really like is you have people from different backgrounds, different places, all of that great stuff. But no one in our group has the stats down like James does.
Okay,
James
like
knows about games that he couldn't even talk when that game was happening because he was still in the cradle. But James knows the stats for those games. He knows all of our players. He knows our depth chart. So whenever we have any questions about that, we ask James that. Obviously, he's very intense during the games, so he doesn't really talk. We let him talk to us during the games. We don't interrupt his flow. But if you want to know anything about the Cowboys, anything that's going on currently, James is the man to go to about who's on our team, what's happening. And I do want to say he wrote a blog last year, which is fabulous, and he's going to restart, called Why Jerry Why. And that was important. That was just the
you
best.
You don't like your coach, Jerry Jones?
He's not our coach. He's our owner. Who thinks he's our coach and even thinks he's a cheerleader. He does.
Right.
You know, if you're really a diehard fan of Jerry, if you're really a diehard Cowboy fan, I have to be honest, we had this discussion a little earlier. If you really grew up with a love for the Cowboys, it's hard to say that you like Jerry Jones. Now, you have to respect how he got his money. You have to respect that he's a businessman. You have to respect
the George Steinbrenner
that.
Of football. Basically.
Exactly.
In fact, the Cowboys are in business with the Yankees. Did you
yes,
guys know
we are.
That?
Yes,
your,
we are.
Your concession stand. Every
yes,
time
we
you
are.
Sell
let
a
me
hot,
ask you a question.
Every
how
time
did
you
the
sell
Yankees
a
win the Super? How did the Yankees win the World Championship? With George Steinbrenner, he recognized finally. You know what? I don't know what I'm doing. I need to get someone in here who does know what they're doing. And then what happened? They started winning.
Do you feel Jerry Jones should recognize that saying?
Yes.
Mindset. Good. Okay.
Cowboy fans have had to deal with Jerry Jones attempting to learn how to be a general manager for the past 16-plus years.
I like it.
Do you have the stats from the Ice Bowl?
We shall not talk about that 1967 game. Because let me tell you something. Jethro Pugh, okay, the reason why that hole was there, because your right guard, I don't remember his name, he moved before the snap. Okay, he moved before the snap. Jethro Pugh did not. He moved. He got leverage. That's how your quarterback got in. Okay,
touchdown.
Now it's interesting. He didn't have a lot to say until then.
When will Tony Romo get back from vacation?
Well, that's an interesting question. Now, I was a big proponent of when it was time to get Romo in there when Bledsoe needed to go. However, whatever you may say about Tony Romo, each week he is either in the top 10 or top 5 in terms of stats.
I know.
So you have to look to what else is going on with the team.
Even Amani Toomer dissed Eli.
That's all I'm saying.
Tony Romo had the third highest QBR rating in the league last year, behind Breeze and Rodgers. Higher than Brady. Higher than any Manning.
Right.
He had the third highest QBR rating.
May I add from Burlington, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Tony Romo is from Wisconsin, so it comes back to Wisconsin always.
Yeah, okay.
Although he grew up a Bears fan.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Gentlemen, obviously that game where, what was our cornerback, Mike Jenkins, whiffed on that tackle, where y'all destroyed us, was it 45-3?
Yeah.
I was at that game.
Mm.
So I don't want to hear nothing about Packers fans talking about, oh, we're congenial, we respect each other's teams. No. Okay? No.
No, I only said that about the Giants and the Packers because there's some history.
Everybody hates the Cowboys. Everybody hates the Cowboys. Right. Exactly. They are very much like the Yankees.
That's exactly right.
Right.
And I am a Yankee fan. So
we did not name ourselves America's team. It was given to us, and everyone loves to hate on the Cowboys.
By George Allen, by the way. That's who gave us that name.
By the way, James, what did you think of Too Tall Jones' boxing career?
It was amusing.
It was.
It was amusing.
I enjoyed it.
I actually spoke to him in person. I can still remember
the first fight against Jesus Yaki Meneses.
Someone who probably
never fought again. And 6'9", Too Tall Jones was trying to
figure out... He was undefeated, right, Jones?
I'm not sure if he was undefeated, but he never actually hit anyone, which is the interesting part.
No, he was 6-0, I believe. Yeah. I think he was 6-0. He was undefeated.
I think the win from his punches
Don't argue with him.
Knocked some people down.
The win from his punches. All
this is impressive.
Yes. This just shows that I'm old, folks.
He was 6-0. He was undefeated.
It shows that I'm old and James reads a lot.
Yes, he does. And memorizes a lot.
Yeah, my wife compels me to do something destructive.
Come up to the mic because you were actually the guy running this bar. Patrick's deep in the backfield. He's taking a handoff and coming up. Do you guys see the same faces week after week, would you say?
Absolutely. We have new people coming in because we're pretty well known. We've been very fortunate with press. Before the Giant debacle last year in the playoffs.
Did the Giants beat you guys last year?
I don't recall, Senator.
He's really obnoxious.
Sometimes that confuses me.
Just unnecessarily, but
I will say this. The Friday before the game, the lead sports story in the New York Times was the kettle of fish.
Doesn't that blonde Viking guy claim you guys didn't actually lose? Oh, we didn't win. You lost. That's right. No.
That was a little misinterpreted. Okay. You guys ran with that.
How can you sit here and tell me that you have mutual respect for the Giants because of your history? I'm sorry. They've beaten you twice in the last 5 years and gone on to
win. That's the history he respects.
There's no history there. To me, I want to strangle any Giant fans that remotely decide they won.
Where's my security?
Betty,
get over here.
This is going to be fun.
You know, September 5th, I keep getting invites to go to the games.
She's feeding me to the Lions.
Yeah.
Well, to
I'm
the
not
Cowboys,
going
actually.
To that game. I like my civil liberties. I do not want to get arrested. I go to that game. Some Giant fan is going to rub the fact in that they got this ridiculous ring for a game that I didn't watch.
What ridiculous ring? They won the game.
It's ridiculous.
Why is it ridiculous?
I didn't watch the game. It didn't happen.
Well.
Okay? I didn't watch the game. It didn't happen.
There was no Holocaust.
I got to say something about the Pack and the Giants. They have beaten us twice and got in the two Super Bowls. But we beat them the second last game of the season when we won our Super Bowl a couple years ago, to knock them out and to help us get into the playoffs.
Is that a left-handed stab at the Cowboys there for our inability to close out that home game?
Way to go.
Is that what that was about?
You're sneaky. I like it.
That's what that was about?
You're very, okay, let me tell you're very touchy.
Tony Romo didn't lose that game. Miles Austin, on that route, was supposed to recognize the hot read. He was supposed to take off on a nine.
Someone
route,
just texted
right
in.
Up the seam.
Getting
okay,
tough there.
Right on up the seam. If he'd have ran the nine route right up the seam, okay, that giant cornerback Webster was toast. Okay, they don't win whatever game that they think that they played in back in February,
James,
on February 7th.
James,
of last
year.
If I can add one quick thing.
Sure.
Back when there was the West Division and the East Division of the NFL, the Packers also beat the Giants a lot in the NFL championship game. So that was also a lot of fun to watch. Not that I was alive then, but it was, you know.
It's still the last century from the last millennium. It doesn't matter.
It's still the championship.
You seem to have a solid game plan. Are you thinking of taking over the head coaching duties from Jerry Jones?
We would love that.
Let me explain something to you.
Yes.
Okay. I go down there every year for games.
Have you watched games in Dallas?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. Well, actually, all right. Betty, I don't want everyone mad at me, and Betty is our engineer, and she wants me to go to commercial break. But when we get back, we will hear about James's experiences in Dallas. We'll hear about mine, too, but fortunately they weren't during football season. We'll be back.
Cause it's the place to be. Come to Coney Island's magic by the sea. Hey kids, the time is now. We'll show you our stuff. At Steeplechase Park, you'll never get enough. Coney Island, come for the pleasure. Come and you'll see. Brooklyn is grand. The ocean and the sand. Coney Island's part of history. Travel from far, a wonder wheel date. This fun place is great, so here we are. Coney Island, come for the pleasure. Chase Day, this fun place is great, so here we are.
Hi, this is Mia. Listen to my show, Mia's World, every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as I interview artists, musicians, writers, and pretty much anyone that I'm passionate about in my Sagittarian world. So it's Mia's World, 9 o'clock Tuesdays on Chantani Broadcasting, high-definition digital radio broadcasting to the world.
Okay, we are back, and no one has been seriously injured during the commercial break. We just heard from John in Texas, who says, good show. He's a Dallas fan, though born in Texas City, so that means I should be a Houston fan, but screw them.
Good answer.
Okay, we have the approval.
What was that guy's name?
His name is John.
Good answer, John. Good answer.
James is sending you a box of candy, John. Or a football or something. Okay. So, James, I guess we should ask you this. Because I don't know how anyone would ever come off badly to you because you'd probably kill them. But I mean, assume you wear some Dallas paraphernalia when you roam around New York, right?
Oh, absolutely. When I go to away games, and I've been to most of the stadiums in the NFL. When I go to away games, if you remember the Road Warriors growing up,
yes,
with the war paint, I actually paint my face like that.
Slash and somebody.
Animal and Hawk.
That was Demolition, right? Yeah, getting my wrestling mixed up.
I paint my face just like them, but in cowboy colors.
You do.
Because I'm letting people know that we are not only Road Warriors, but we're
but
here
face
to take
painters
care of
as well.
I'm sorry, what?
But face painters as well. Okay.
It's the way they face painting. It's so they will always remember who came in their house and beat them down.
Now
see, September 5th, if I didn't value my civil liberties, I would go there the same way.
No, come on. You can't back down. We want you at Giants. Have you gone to Giants Stadium?
Oh, yeah. I've been there. The last time I was there, I almost got in a fight.
Almost?
Yeah, almost got in a fight.
That's like almost going a touchdown, James.
Yeah, well,
I would have expected
dude
more
recognized the fact that he was drunk and he would have lost.
Okay.
Now, I have to say, I've been there. I've been to Giants Stadium. I took my nephew to his first game, his first football game, when it was the Giants and the Cowboys. And actually, there were a lot of people in that stadium that were Cowboy fans.
Oh, there's a lot of New Yorkers
who
are Cowboy
fans,
sure.
We did, actually, it was okay. It wasn't that bad. I converted a whole row in front. I converted that
Wait,
role.
They came as Giant fans and
they
left
came
as Cowboy
as fans? Because the dad was the...
When I get my religion together, I'm getting
I'm
you
just saying,
in.
I'm just saying, you want me. The dad was actually a Giant fan, and the four boys, he made the four boys go. So the four boys found me far more interesting than they found the Giants. So I turned them into Cowboy fans.
Were you giving them something out of your flask?
I was not.
No.
Because I was not. But that stadium, it wasn't a bad experience to be there and be a Cowboy fan. It got a little ugly in the parking lot. I'm going to admit that. And my nephew had a boot on his ankle. He refused not to come. He had a broken ankle, but he wanted to come. It got a little iffy there at the end of the game. But otherwise, if you expect, this is New York City. If you really, really think that we're not going to walk around with our paraphernalia, and if that's a problem for you, you're living in the wrong city. You really are.
Yeah, but see, I was born
Tavia
here.
Tavia has a heart. I'm not trying to offer you solace. I'm trying to destroy your spirit. Okay? I don't care what passion you have for your team. There's only one team. When you walk out that door and you look up in that New York sky and you see that one star, you know that it will always be the Cowboy star.
But what if there's a lot of stars in the sky?
When we come back, I promise you this, when we come back and we win
our championship. What if it's not an eclipse?
I promise you come look for me, I'm going to come look for you. You're going to see me coming.
Okay.
Now, Mike's a little different. Mike.
Yeah, Mike. Let's hear from Mike. Is he a kinder, gentler Cowboy fan?
Oh, yeah, he's a quiet one.
Get closer to the mic.
He's the quiet one.
Mike is quiet. That's perfect for radio. Okay, so Mike, are you from Dallas originally?
No, I'm actually from San Antonio originally.
Oh, well, that's close enough.
Well, I mean, in Texas, anywhere outside of Houston is Cowboys country, so... They own the entire state.
Do you run into any Giant fans in Dallas, and how are they treated? It was what I would like to know.
There are no Giants fans in Dallas that I've seen.
There must be some.
There must be, but I ain't seen them. So.
I mean, I know Yankee fans who live in Boston, so.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm an Atlanta Braves fan who lives in New York, and I'm a Cowboys fan in New York, so, I mean, they're all over the place. But I've been to two games in Dallas, and both games that I've been to, the opposing team, you saw maybe one out of 50. And that's being generous.
Someone just wrote in so much anger. That came from Kwai Chang Kane, by the way. So
I wonder who that was directed at.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm too frightened to be angry. Okay. So now, what's the worst reaction that you've ever gotten from someone when you were wearing your Cowboys? Do you wear Cowboy stuff?
Oh, yeah. Every Sunday you wear your gear to the bar. But, no, the worst it was actually not at a Giants game, but at a Jets game last year, the season opener. I was there with my brother and a few friends, and like Tave said, for the most part, most of the game was not a bad experience. Towards the end of the game, you know, guys get a little more liquored up. It got to be an issue. I was actually there with my brother, who's one of the more relaxed people, never really gets angry. That might be the first time I ever had to hold him back from getting into a fight with a Jets fan.
So it got a little spirited.
Yeah.
Did you have James with you? Because then I think everything would have been okay.
Actually, that might have been an instigator. I don't know.
Now, I noticed that the Packer fans, only half of them are drinking beer, which is disappointing to me. But do you have, Patrick, do you have a drink special at your bar? And should I assume that it's beer related? Something coming from Milwaukee, maybe?
Really, what we have is, as far as special, is I get bratwurst flown in weekly from Milwaukee. Usinger brats from Milwaukee. And then we have aged cheddar from up in Marathon, Wisconsin, and summer sausage from Oshkosh.
Right. See, Tave knew a guy who brought all his brats to the game, and they're all now Cowboy fans.
That's right. I like it. That's a good one, Troy. I like that.
They weren't Usingers.
No. Okay, but I do see some of these guys drinking beer. I mean, what's with the wine? I mean, shouldn't you be honoring Milwaukee?
You're cheeseheads.
Do you have any kind of cheese? Do you wear cheeseheads, any of you guys? Does anyone own a cheesehead? I want to know.
I do not own a cheesehead.
This guy, okay. I need to hear from him because someone who actually, have you worn this cheesehead in public?
Not in New York, not yet. It's back home in Wisconsin, safe and sound. But I've been meaning to bring that out here on occasion, especially while waiting in line at the kettle.
Do cheeseheads abound there in Wisconsin at a game?
Yeah, it's. I love going home.
What is the relationship to cheesehead wearing and drinking?
That's a really good question that I really can't answer. But I do love going to Michelin International Airport, Milwaukee. And you can tell people are not from Milwaukee when they walk to the airport and they find a cheesehead. And they're like, they exist. The cheeseheads exist.
Yeah, it's like X-Files. Okay. Now, speaking
I got to get back to the cheesehead for a minute.
Okay, good.
For the Super Bowl, we have an older gent who has some young kids who live down the street. And they hopped on the Packer bandwagon, which was great. And he hopped the fence to the Sheridan Park, which is Christopher Street Park, but General Sheridan's inside of it, and climbed up and put a cheesehead on him for the Super Bowl.
So someone was getting head in Sheridan Square Park, isn't it?
Cheesehead.
That's not the first time, I have to tell you.
That's nice.
It's not the first time.
Tana Bear.
And it won't be the last. Now, speaking of people with unusual attire at a game, how do you guys feel about the Redskin fans with the whole little pig face thing going on?
You know,
do you guys hate the Redskins as much as the Giants, or more, or less, or what?
Well, let me tell you, it starts with the Eagles.
It does.
It starts with the Eagles.
The Eagles are by far the worst.
The Eagles are the worst.
Any team that doesn't have the star in the helmet.
Yeah, period. Well, that's okay. James.
Any team that doesn't have the star in the helmet.
You know, I can remember when the Cowboys didn't have a star in a uniform.
Ooh.
Okay.
James, you behave yourself.
James just swung his cheese head at me.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we were the Cowboys, they were the Texans. We all understand that. We accept that. We all have our humble beginnings. It's where we have come from. It's what we have done since we've come from those beginnings. And how many championships do we have since that 1960 season?
Five of them, I think.
Thank you. How many appearances total do we have?
Nine.
Eight.
Is it eight or nine?
It's eight. Okay.
I never question him.
But last year you had a disappearance, didn't you?
Troy. Troy.
Yes.
Troy, I can only protect you so far.
I know. Troy, you're on the other side, so.
I can,
yeah,
Troy.
Yeah, I don't need
that
utensil.
Betty's giving him a weapon.
Yeah,
actually.
I won't need to. That,
that's
need
what I
weapon.
Want from my staff.
As it relates to the Eagles, I think part of it is our frustration over the Eagles is they really are kind of a filthy group of people. They're nasty. They're mean.
It's a nasty
it's
group of fans, isn't it? You have to say Giants fans tend to be a little civilized on the corporate side.
Well, let me
side.
Share this. You know, again, born and raised in New York, Jet fans and Giant fans have really started feeling their wild oats lately and thinking that they're a lot more than what they are.
I don't think Giants like the Jets. I mean,
yeah,
the Jets have got a lot to say.
Yeah, the
I think it's the whole green thing.
Mm-mm, the Giants, we can tell because we actually have fans who one of them is a Cowboy fan, and the other person is actually a Giant fan.
You're talking about a couple.
Talking about a couple.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, they've gotten a little beside themselves.
So it's like all my exes live in Texas?
Yeah, kind of like that.
Yeah.
And they've gotten a little bit beside themselves. And we know the whole Jet bandwagon and what our buddy Mr. Ryan has brought into them. And so I find that they've gotten a little bit more aggressive. But on the grand scheme of things, it's really the Eagles, and then it's the Redskins. We do not like the Redskins. That drama that they've created, it's like, get over it already.
I still remember, was it George Young? Not George Young. That was the Giants. What was his name? George Allen. He was an obnoxious little twit, wasn't he?
He's the reason why we're called America's team. Okay.
Yes.
How did that happen?
That happened when
the organization was created, and it became first started out with the Texans.
Yeah.
George Allen was actually trying to block the Cowboys from coming into the – or the Texans then from coming into the league. And to compel him to do that, the NFL actually took that Hail to the Redskins song, actually took it away from them. Wouldn't allow them to use that.
They lost
song.
Their song.
They were well,
you
not
gotta
going to
think
be,
the Cowboys and the Redskins would reason, be natural rivals.
That's the only reason why yes. we were
it's like a
able
John
to
Wayne
in,
movie. Yes, basically. Yeah.
Yes, but the reality is, you know, we don't think. I have to be truthful. People think that the Cowboys they love to hate us, but if you really take a look, we're not doing that much chatter. It really Jerry Jones is the only one doing the chatter. Everybody else is talking about us.
I remember what was that? Well, that Hollywood Henderson.
Hollywood.
I remember those.
He was a funny guy. Yeah.
That's a little different.
What did he say about Jack good. Lambert? He looked like Dracula because he had no teeth in the middle.
Yeah.
He said also yeah. like Terry Bradshaw couldn't spell cat.
Right.
If you spotted them, the C and the T. So yeah.
Exactly. But that was actually more in fun. I think for us as it relates to the Redskins, you know, we don't necessarily see them as a big competitor. We just realize we don't like them. And you know, Snyder has felt like he could be like a Steinbrenner, put all the money in and buy himself a Super Bowl.
Didn't
and he
work
still
out,
hasn't.
Did it?
It hasn't worked out. RG3, you know, that's interesting, but doesn't faze us. Doesn't faze us.
Okay. I think Betty once again, in order to offer me protection from James, insists that I go to a commercial break. And she will be erecting some sort of barrier. We'll be back.
If you love jazz, check out These Things We Dig, a new CD by jazz, sax, flute, and clarinet recording artist James Aldean on Sexton Records. James Aldean has recorded 7 CDs for Sexton Records and appears regularly in the New York metropolitan area, including the great venue, the Whiskey Cafe. These Things We Dig features some of the best jazz and bebop styles, with James fronting the band, complemented by such great players as Mike Fonella, Phil Jones, Bob De Benedette, Ron Naspo, and Wayne Dunton. You can get this new CD from Sexton Records by going to www.sexton.com. That's C-E-X-T-O-N.com. You can find out more about James Aldean at www.jldeanorchestra.com. For the best in jazz, it's Sexton Records, the audiophile jazz record label. Sexton.com.
Hi, this is James C. Napadano on Centani Broadcasting. Please listen to the Jackpot Show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where you will hear comedy, music, and conversation for intelligent people only. Once again, it's the Jackpot Show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Centani Broadcasting.
Okay, we're back during commercial break. Betty bandaged my forehead and reset my left arm, and we're okay.
It's only a small bleed.
Betty, it was my right arm that was injured. Just keep that in mind for future reference. Okay, so we are back with some of our crew here. What was I would like to know what the high point of your life as a fan was. Let's see, Tave, what would you say your big moment was as a Cowboy fan?
Wow, that's really interesting. Well, I'm going to be really honest. When this group got written up in Dallas Morning News, that was actually a highlight for me.
Oh, okay.
You know, loving the team the way I do and having put this group together just because we love to be together and watch the team. When John said to me, you know, somebody from Dallas Morning News wants to write about you, that was exciting for me. And I was in the Daily News. I guess those were two highlights. And it was all about being a Cowboy fan. They had me in my jersey with my nails. My cowboy nails and my cowboy earrings on, and just being able to show that. And I'm very, very proud of being a Cowboy fan.
All right, let's hear from some of the Packers folks. What was the high point of your Packers experience?
I mean, one of the obvious ones is the first time I saw our team win a Super Bowl, and of course,
but it was the first incompletion by Favre as a
yeah,
Viking.
Exactly. Yeah, that you know what, that comes a close second, you know, but. No, it was probably the Super Bowl in the 90s, just because that was the first time in my generation that we had actually won the Super Bowl, and it brought the title back to Titletown, because that is our nickname, is Titletown, because we do have the best team.
Go back.
Thank you.
Look at that.
Come on, guys. There
was a lot of hesitation there.
That was weak.
Yeah, that was weak.
There's a lot of hesitation.
Weren't your greatest moments with, like, Vince Lombardi at Giants?
I wasn't alive. Vince Lombardi, the first championship he won was actually against the Giants in the 60s before he won the first two Super Bowls,
with
the Green Bay Packers.
Yes. Okay, James, what was your highlight? Other than stomping a Giant fan in the parking lot, other than that, what was
Which
your,
wasn't proved.
No, there's no evidence.
Are we talking about from a game or from the stadium itself?
I guess, say, from the Cowboys playing. Like, what was the greatest moment?
Oh, that's easy. January 1994, Emmitt Smith with a separated shoulder. Yeah, you remember that. 168 total yards.
Yeah.
124 to 130 something rushing. Another 30 or 40 receiving. Carrying a couple of giant defenders with him, leading us to the championship. Yes, you remember that.
It wasn't like three of those guys in a hotel room with a hooker. I remember that too.
No, this is Emmitt Smith.
Him winning that game. Us getting a bye and then going on to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I like his enthusiasm. He's got the kind of bitter, brutal attitude that I respect in a fan. The Packer fans seem a little mellower. Are you guys very drunk or what?
No, I can share my favorite moment if you like.
Good. Lay it on us.
Okay. My favorite moment was Super Bowl 45, even though it was my second opportunity seeing our team win the Super Bowl. I actually had my amp pass away 2 weeks earlier. Oh. And my regulars that I hang out with at the Kettle asked me if I was making the playoff games, and I said I couldn't make the Eagles game because that had just happened. And the weekend of the Atlanta game, the bar called me. I don't know how they got my number, but I talked to half the patrons there asking me how I was doing and this and that, and they all invited me to come to the Kettle, that they had a seat for me, and you're here for the entire time, the whole run. So being from Wisconsin and living in New York and being a Packer fan, I didn't ask him to do that. And, you know, it was one of those things, like, you know, didn't see it coming. And that's half the reason why I actually go to Kettle as well. It's a great institution, and the people there are great. I see them only 4 months out of the year because it's football season. But that was by far my favorite moment, because just being in that atmosphere was fantastic.
Okay, this is Emma John's friend.
Hey, Emma.
I just wanted to say,
hey, what's up, Emma?
I love my Cowboys as if they were my own kids.
That's right, Emma.
It's a big family you got there, Emma. Not because they are good. She's I'm going to stop there. No.
No. Keep going.
But because they are mine. Glad the season's back. Tony looked good against the Chargers and said something about Jessica. No. I can't say the same about the backups. Okay, so she's fairly realistic. Way
yes,
to go.
Yes, she is. Yay, Emma.
I wanted to know, what's your prediction about the Packers season, guys? Whoever wants to share their prediction.
Well, to me, it's all about what we did last year, what we did 2 years ago, the year before that. It's all been culminating into better and better and better. And all we've done is gotten better from last year when we went 15-1, had a rough end, and then end of the season, but they put in new pieces into place that are going to get us even better this year. I mean, it's nothing but Super Bowl from here.
Okay, and James, I assume you're predicting fourth place. Let's hear from you. What do you think is going to happen?
It will be entirely predicated on our ability of our offensive line. Okay. If our offensive line does not hold up, does not get it together, does not produce when they have to produce, make the holes, give Tony protection, if they do that, we will win. We will be there at the end. If they do not, it'll be another moment where I'll go to my blog and I'll open up Jerry Why, and I'll lambaste him, fry him, kick him, step on him.
You won't Lambo him, but you will lambast him.
No, there won't be any glory hole here with Jerry.
Okay.
As a Packer fan, I agree. If you guys are going to win, you guys got to get that offensive line in gear.
Exactly.
That offensive line, our offensive line is just three words, terror bad. Just, Tave,
what do you have to say? What's going to go on this year?
I'm a very realistic fan. Our offensive line needs to look better. We've got to plug those holes. We did a better job in terms of the draft with our defense, which I was very happy about. And for those of you that don't know, DeMarcus Ware, who is my baby daddy. I don't have a baby. He nor his wife know that, but he is my baby daddy.
It's like DeMarcus the Immaculate Ware, Conception.
Yeah, it is. But DeMarcus Ware can't do it on his own. And so we need a better pass rush, absolutely. And we also need to plug those holes on the offensive line.
I can remember a couple of games where you said, DeMarcus, where?
Yeah, not very many. Not very many. Not very many.
I just couldn't resist. It came to mind. Yeah. Okay.
Now, I will tell you, okay, Andy, now it's going to be me and your arm, okay, when you start talking about
DeMarcus. Well, I still got one left. So.
You got one left. Yeah, so, you know, I'd
it's not the right or the left.
Right. I'd love to see us put some pieces in and other people step up and take some heart and move it forward.
Okay, now, speaking of plugs, let's get a plug for the bars that you guys watch these games at.
Okay. And so if you are a diehard Dallas Cowboy fan, you can join us any game of the season at Stone Creek and Lounge, which is on 27th Street between Lexington and 3rd. John Perosi is the owner. He's fabulous. You'll love him. You'll love us. Come check us out.
Giant fans, wear a helmet. Okay, Packers, Patrick, tell us where people can see the game. He's getting down into a crouch. Are you going to get a handoff here or what?
We're fortunate enough that so many people know about us, so we're really lucky. Kettle of Fish, 5'9 Christopher. But our real message is going to be chimed in by the five of us now.
We got the best team. Go Pack!
Whatever.
Okay, we have another text coming in. Love the Creek. Especially love when the Albanian manager wears his assless chap behind the bar from Basta. Okay. Well, I can't top that. All right, we could have easily done another hour, but we're time is up for this week. We may have to have these guys back in midseason or something.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
It's great having the Giants on with a four-game lead. So. Okay, but for now, we are gone.